If you enjoy the Zen Founder podcast and you feel like you get some value out of it, we'd love a 5-star review in iTunes or Stitcher or Downcast or whichever podcatcher you use. And even more, we'd love it if you'd head over to supportzenfounder.com. And pledging even $1 or $2 an episode is a huge help towards keeping us on the air and keeping the show at the highest quality possible. I'm flying solo again this week. I received some positive feedback about the episode Playing Long Ball that I recorded a couple weeks ago. Sherry is at South by Southwest this week in Austin, Texas, meeting up with some important folks and exploring opportunities and doing fancy business type things. And so here I am sitting in a closet that's turned into an office, just recording for you. This week, I'm going to be talking about finding your crew, how to find your crew, why you should find your crew, and how critical it is to your success.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this woman.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode. So I'm actually enjoying these solo episodes. It's not often I get to sit and kind of diatribe for 14, 15 minutes. But it's funny how many kind of detailed thoughts like this that have occurred to me over the years that I've always meant to put into a blog post and just don't have the time to spend the 2 or 3 hours, I should say 2 to 8 hours for me to actually get it published and to the quality that I want. So here I am. Someday maybe these will become blog posts. But for now, these are kind of off the top of my head types things I am putting together outlines and following them so that there's, you know, a decent flow to the episode. But these are things that I've been thinking about for a while. This week, I want to talk about finding your crew. And what I mean by that, you know, when I say your crew, what I mean is like 3 to 5 people who are really going to be all in with you on your entrepreneurial journey. So this is not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's very, very unlikely that it's anyone in even your extended family. That's a possibility, but I would doubt it. These are 3 to 5 people who are going to support you, who are going to be either a mentor, a peer, or in the long run, a mentee. And it's a small group of people, and that's why I call it a crew. You know, there's this concept that Seth Godin talks about where it's find your tribe. And I do think you need to find your tribe, and you probably need to find your tribe first before you go try to find your crew, because your crew is probably going to come out of that tribe. When Seth Godin talks about it, he's basically saying, find the people who are doing the same thing you are and who love the same things you do and have the same aspirations that you do. But what I found is that finding your tribe doesn't tend to be enough. The tribe is just too big and it's too impersonal. And I think, as I said, I think you're going to need to find your tribe and then dig into it and try to find that handful of people who are really going to be all in with you. And this is why, you know, I've long valued mastermind groups. As far as I know, I was the first person to really dig into mastermind groups in the startup space. It was a big thing in the info marketing space. But once I started a mastermind, I was actually in 2 masterminds for quite some time. I realized the value of them. This is 2009, 2010. And I started talking about them on the podcast around 2011, 2012. And really just, I feel like there's a ton of value here with someone else being all in with you and the shared history and not only the advice you can get, but the strong network ties and just someone keeping you accountable to what you're saying. Because if you have this big tribe of thousands of people, if you're on a forum, if you're at a conference, it just isn't the same as having a handful of people who are highly invested in what you're doing. And so if you think about places you might want to look for your tribe and thus your crew, maybe you go to MicroConf and you find people there. I know a lot of people connect there and wind up forming masterminds. And masterminds aren't the only way to have a crew. You know, I would consider myself kind of in the crew of several people that are not in my mastermind. I think the crew extends out beyond that. You may be in Founder Cafe, you know, which is a membership forum that I co-run with Mike Tabor. Maybe you go to BOS. Maybe that's your crew. Maybe you're big time into digital nomad stuff and you want to be in the Tropical MBAs, you know, their DC crowd. Maybe you follow Patio 11 and you want to be around people like him. There's Bacon Biz Conf. There really is a long list of this. And these are the more kind of entrepreneur startup-y type events and those crews. If you wanted to go more after kind of the info marketer or conversion conversion marketer crowd. You can always look at a place like Converted, which is a Lead Pages conference, Traffic and Conversion, which I believe is Digital Marketers Conference. I mean, there's just so many places to look, but it's like attend those events or find their online communities and you'll start to see the people there who are executing. And, you know, you can start to build relationships, and I'll talk about how to do that later. The goal here, the reason that I think you need to find your crew, is that you want to normalize what looks to most people like odd behavior, right? As an entrepreneur, what we do, it's almost like deviant behavior, because it's not the same thing that quote unquote normal successful people do. Because normal quote unquote successful people, they, you know, become a doctor or a lawyer, they get a 9-to-5 job and they work there and they get their retirement. You know, they don't bounce around from job to job. I mean, there's just all these things that I think have kind of traditionally been the script, and that's not what will make you successful as an entrepreneur. And I doubted this over and over and over as I was coming up. You know, I started working professionally in 99, 2000 after I got out of college, and I moved from job to job because I hated all the jobs. I like the people who I worked for, or the job, you know, was not a good fit, or the company got too big. I joined one startup that was great, and once we got to about 50 people, I was like, this is way too big. So I bailed on that. And when I looked at my resume, I felt guilty, like, oh, I've been a job hopper. I'm never going to find a job. Well, it turns out that was actually my strength. Like, it was a strength that I get bored with things, but that I execute relentlessly for a certain period of time. And then I move on to the next opportunity. And so if I had been around other people, like all the entrepreneurs I speak with now, they did the exact same thing. And so if I'd been speaking with Ruben Gomez 15 years ago, or talking to Jason Cohen or Heaton Shaw, like, they would have normalized that behavior and been like, look, what you're an entrepreneur. This is what we do. But instead, I felt, you know, kind of embarrassed and not fitting in with societal norms, because the people around me who I was around day to day, I looked like I was insane. You know, I was the guy that I would bring a personal laptop to work, and at lunch, instead of hanging out with everybody, this is so embarrassing, I've never actually talked about this in public, I would literally go sit in my car and I would work on my side projects, because I really wanted to get out of working full time. And this was 1 hour of the day that I actually had to do that. So I'd go park in a shady area. I'd wolf down a sandwich that I had brought from home. And, you know, I kind of gave up the coworker interactions, which was a little bit of a bummer, but I made tremendous amounts of progress. This is when I started my blog. This is when I built FeedShot. I was buying small online businesses. I acquired .NET Invoice during this time. I mean, there were life-changing events that happened, and it was because I was taking those times to do, again, what looks like insane behavior. And if anyone else saw me, like, I would have been embarrassed about it. But I know entrepreneurs who have similar stories, who were similarly basically, you know, executing in every moment they had. And instead of going out on Friday or Saturday night, hanging out, doing work and doing SEO or cranking out content. And I'm not saying you do this forever. I'm not saying you forego, you know, the pleasure of having friends or coworkers forever. But at the time, I was willing to do this, to make the sacrifice. And to me, the freedom of one day not having a job was worth more to me than going out to Chipotle with a group of friends. Another thing to think about here is, you know, there's debate about whether you really are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. I mean, that's kind of a thing that's thrown around a lot. I personally, even though, you know, I Googled it real quick and looked through, and it doesn't look like there's a tremendous amount of data around that, but I personally intuitively believe that that's true, that if you spend time with five people for a long time, that you kind of all become similar. And so if you're only hanging out with your friends from high school or from college or your extended family or your friends from your 9-to-5 job or your church or your gym, it's pretty unlikely that they have the same ambitions you do, right? Most people are not entrepreneurial, and most people are not going to understand it. And if they don't understand it, they will question it to the point where you really don't want to talk about it in front of them. I have a bunch of stories of feeling like I was the outlier and like I was doing the wrong thing, and like what I wanted to do as an entrepreneur, you know, wasn't a reality. And this was before all the blogs, right? There was no, you know, there was no Software by Rob. There was no Patio 11 Cal Zumaeus blog. There just weren't even, you know, there was no Jason Cohen. There was none of these things existed. And so I couldn't just go online and find a podcast or a blog that told me that this was okay. It was just kind of me in my own head. And let's say mid to late 90s, even thinking about how can I bootstrap a business and do this. And so there was one, you know, one time I'm thinking of when I had a copy of Inc. magazine. And again, at the time, that was the closest I could get to kind of getting inside the startup space and looking at the business world. And some guy was just ragging on it, like, oh, you think you're an entrepreneur? Are you going to start some company? I was working at a construction company. And I remember just feeling like, man, yeah, maybe this thing really isn't all it's cracked up to be. And then there was another time, it was a couple years later, where I was actually coding. I was a developer and I was consulting. So this is maybe 2001-ish, and I was making really good money at it at the time for how young I was, and given that it was, 15, 16 years ago, I think it was maybe, let's say it's 70 or 80 bucks an hour, and I was booked more than full-time, so I could work as much time as I needed. And so that was when we started outsourcing stuff. Like, we outsourced our lawn maintenance, we hired cleaners, I had home maintenance stuff, so whatever, something would fall off the shingles, and I would hire somebody to do it. And I had one friend who just made a fraction of what I did in terms of income. And so to him, it was this big waste of money. And he had no idea that I was booked full time. He just didn't have any clue about what I was doing. And he just would joking, and he was ragging on me in front of friends and just being like, oh man, yeah, Rob's really handy. He doesn't know how to fix anything. And I was like, actually I do. It's just not worth my time. And so I say these things because I remember them kind of, to be honest, hurting at the time, they kind of stung pretty deep. And in retrospect, I think to myself, I was doing the right thing, and I'm glad that I shook it off. So I guess, as a founder or aspiring founder listening to this, if people say these things to you, I want you to shake them off. You got to let this stuff go and listen to people who maybe are a bit ahead of you. Do you think that Jason Cohen and Heaton Shaw and Ruben Gomez and myself, do you think we mow our own lawns? Do you think I don't shovel my own snow off my driveway? We hire someone to do that. And it's not because I'm too good for manual labor. It has nothing to do with it. It's that I value my time more than the time that I would spend, out there worrying about it. And instead of doing that, I'm in here cranking out content or recording this podcast or, building businesses in essence. So all that to say, this is why you need to have exposure and relationships with people who are doing these things, because we do tend to think along the same terms, and these terms are the things that are going to make you successful, right? It is the thinking of like, oh, I'm going to outsource. Oh, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work, nights and in order to ship this thing. And oh, maybe I do need to, leave one job and even take a job for less pay where I have fewer hours so that I have more hours to work on my entrepreneurial stuff. These are decisions that most people won't make. And so it's something that can help you normalize it if you have folks around you who are making those decisions. So that's kind of the backstory of why I think that you need to find a crew and why you need to find a small group of people who are really going through this with you. Now let's dive into kind of some mechanics of it. I see kind of three roles when I think of people in your quote unquote crew. I see there's probably the mentor/advisor, there's peers, and then there's at some point mentees, right? And I think you want between one and three of the first two in your early days. So you want between one and three mentors or advisors and one and three peers. Mentors or advisors obviously have been there, and they're able to give you guidance, and they're able to oftentimes give you insights in a very, very brief amount of time that might take you weeks to figure out. They can tell you in 5 minutes because they've been there. And then you need your peers because they're in the trenches with you, right? And they're the day-to-day accountability. And oftentimes you're not going to have a mentor who has the time to talk with you for an hour or two every 2 weeks, like a peer might. And there's a reciprocal relationship, which is also nice because that means, it has longevity. And then as you progress, let's say you're 6 to 12 months down the line and you've had some success, that's when I think that you should start mentoring someone. You retain things better once you teach them. And it's a really good reminder when you start mentoring someone to remind yourself how far you've actually come, how much you've actually accomplished. I actually think you should do this earlier than you probably think you should. I don't think you need to be 2 or 3 years down this road. I think that depending on how fast you're able to move, that this could literally be a 6 to 12 month thing. Now, again, going back to playing long ball, I don't think you should go out on the internet after 6 to 12 months and tout yourself as the expert and tell everyone how great you are. But I do think that if you have a really specific thing that you have learned, like I've learned how to crank out content and I've built a successful, small, awesome bootstrapped info kind of marketing business around something, or, I have learned SEO really well and I'm going to mentor someone in that or coach or teach. And this isn't even, I'm not saying do this for pay. Hey, I'm not saying do this for money. I'm not saying do it hours a week. I'm saying keep yourself open to the thought or the idea that if the opportunity presents itself and you can help someone out even on a one-time basis, or you can help them out with, one email every 2 months that they're able to send you and you're able to give them some advice about something that you know really well that you've become a specialist in, I think you should do that earlier than you think. So again, those three roles were the mentor/advisor, peers, and then ultimately mentees, adding them to the mix as well. So a question I often get is, how do you meet mentors, or how do you find these peers? How do you, you know, find these folks? So what I want to do is I actually want to talk, kind of get personal and talk through how did I meet people who I look up to? And I wouldn't actually, I don't know that I call them mentors in terms of there's any official relationship, but these are folks who have given me advice in areas where I have lacked, and it has helped me get better and grow businesses bigger and get out of kind of maybe some mental cycles or mental spirals that I was in. And so you look at someone whom I've admired for a long time, like Jason Cohen. He's the founder of WP Engine. And we met because I was blogging, right? So this is, I was blogging since 2005, and I can't remember when he started. It was probably 2007, 2008. And he would read and comment on my blog. And then I noticed this guy, and I'm like, hey, this guy just sold a company. This is crazy. And I was blogging about micropreneur stuff, really small businesses. And then I commented on his. When my book came out, I noticed it came through. He had bought a copy of it. And then he had me do a guest post. And it just, we really just connected through blogging. And so I was out there shipping something, and we happened to run across each other. Later, I invited him to speak at MicroConf. And, you know, since then, I've invested in WP Engine, which is to date my most successful angel investment by far. So a lot came out of that, you know, just me putting something out there. You look at someone like Heaton Shah. I met him first when we started MicroConf. And I had heard of him, and I saw him executing with Crazy Egg, and I thought he should speak at MicroConf. Then we met, and he's a super cool guy, and he's very smart. And so have I asked him for advice over the years? Absolutely. You know, it's a point in time thing where I'm thinking Heaton Shah would know the answer to this. No brainer. You get someone like Dan Martell, also kind of met. I met him speaking at a conference, and then I invited him to speak at MicroConf, and he sold 3 or 4 companies. So you can bet that when LeadPages was making the offer to acquire Drip, you bet that I got on the phone with Dan Martell and asked, hey, this is where it's at. This is how I'm thinking about it. What do you think? Just to get some advice. You know, and again, I don't go to Dan Martell every month and ask advice, but there are just these points in times where my crew, you know, these relationships that I'd built and people who were ahead of me in certain aspects are able to help me. Patrick McKenzie, he and I met through blogging and through MicroConf, and he's asked me advice over the years, and I've certainly asked him advice back. Those are kind of the people who, you know, I mean, there's a whole long list, obviously, I could go through of people who I view, you know, as ahead of me in certain aspects, and I ask them for advice. In terms of peers or someone who, you know, I might advise, and it kind of goes back and forth, to be honest. Sometimes I'm giving these people advice, and sometimes they're my peers, and sometimes they're giving me advice. But, you know, you get Ruben from BizSketch, who he posted comments on my blog and then started asking me questions via email. And he was like a charter member of the Micropreneur Academy that became Founder Cafe. Justin McGill with LeadFuse, who I'm now an angel investor for. You know, I think he came into Founder Cafe, which is our membership site, and later came to MicroConf. Jordan Goff from Cardhook was on the podcast. I had no idea who he was. Started hearing him on Bootstrap Web, and I was like, this guy executes. And so then I think we met each other at MicroConf, and then it was like, hey, if you ever raise a round, like, let me invest. You know, so these things, they just come out of kind of being out there and doing things. You know, you get Adrian Rosebrock from Pi Image Search, who I think was originally through Micropreneur Academy, what is now Founder Cafe. And what I noticed about him is the guy just ships. He just executes, you know, he cranks out content and he builds a business from scratch. And that's impressive. Like, I want to be associated with and around people who are executing, even if they're in a different niche than I am, even if they're doing something totally different. It's like, it's contagious when people are shipping, and it makes you want to help them, because I want to help successful people be more successful. Like, that's the easy part. You know, that the easiest thing is making someone who's doing well, like helping make them great. And, you know, I think that's what you see is if you're around folks and you see folks who are executing, those are the people that you want to go near, even if they don't have the success yet. I mean, everybody on this list, Kyle Brown's another one from WP SaaS, who I've met through MicroConf and I think Founder Cafe. All these folks I've pretty much known, most of them have known since before they had even had businesses, you know, since they were aspiring founders years ago. And then they started the blog, and then they started their software product, and then they had a failure, and then they had a success. But I feel like I could tell pretty early on, because most of the time you can tell if someone's going to make it eventually or not. And it's that they just keep coming back and they do not give up and they execute. They just get stuff done. And these are the kind of people that I would be looking for if I were in your shoes. It's find the people who are shipping and who are moving things forward, and then figure out what you have in common. Figure out whether you should be in a mastermind with them, or whether you should just be friends. The more stuff you're shipping, the easier it is for kind of other people to hear about you as well. And that kind of brings me to my final point of the podcast is, okay, so that's how I found people. Those are the examples. But how do you find people? And I mean, there's really just a couple ways that I've seen that work over and over, and it's super repeatable. First thing is to execute, like do things in public. Ship your ideas, ship your audiobook, ship your ebook, you know, ship blog posts and podcasts. I think of, you know, this totally lame idea I had in 2003. It was called Feedshot, feedshot.com. It's now defunct, never really made me much money, but I launched it to this big viral, it kind of went viral in the blog space. And I was a complete nobody. No one had any idea who I was. And I received probably a dozen inbound email inquiries asking me, do I want to consult for them? Did I want a job? Did I want to partner up with them? They had an idea. How did I build this? Could I give them advice? And all of a sudden I went from zero to having 12 people asking for something, you know, and some of them panned out and some of them didn't. But it's such an interesting thing that when you execute and you ship some stuff in public, that things start to happen. And so that's kind of your first step. If you're not already doing this, this is table stakes, par for the course, get out there and do it. The other way I've found is really good is to meet people both at meetups and at conferences. Meetups are a little harder because it's always hard to find folks locally who are probably truly should be in your crew, but conferences is a no-brainer, right? You can find the conferences where the people are and go. And I hate networking as much as you do. I don't like meeting new people. I got to be honest, I'm an introvert, but this is just, it's one of the ways that works, because meeting someone in person, there's just no substitute for it. And then another way is to do an attendee talk. And this is where it gets really scary, right? And most people don't want to do it. But I've seen folks do attendee talks at MicroConf and at Business to Software and just rise up through the ranks, right? It's like they're probably doing a main stage talk in the next couple of years if they get good reviews on that attendee talk. And people have literally like catapulted their founder career right off from the stage. And it takes a lot to put yourself out there. In fact, I think a big turning point in my whole entrepreneurial career was in 2000, I think it was 9, might have been 10, but I think it was 2009. I was super terrified of getting up on stage, but I ran into Jeff Atwood, who was blogging at Coding Horror. And since I'd been blogging for a few years, we kind of knew each other, had never met each other. And he's like, hey, love your blog. You should do a lightning talk at Business of Software in San Francisco in a few weeks. And I was like, man, no, I shouldn't do that. And he basically kind of talked me into it. And so I went and I did it, and I was terrified. And it was one of the moments where I realized, oh man, this is how, like, everybody came up to me afterwards. I had dozens of people, and I realized this is a way to get over something, you know, something in my own head, and to really start to make a difference. And that was one of those turning points where I realized, oh, this is what I need to do moving forward, is to continue to do things that scare me and get out in public. The last one I'll throw out is, of course, like, start a blog, start a podcast, and don't do it half-assed. Like, you got to ship. But you look at this list of folks that I know and who kind of I've even angel invested in, a lot of them started podcasts. And, you know, if you do something well and you get enough popularity, I mean, even a show with a few thousand listeners per episode can be really powerful. So that's my take on kind of why you want to find your crew, what your crew should consist of, and then really how to meet these people. How do you find them? How to cultivate the relationships? And the last thing I'll leave you with is to really value relationships over your success. I mean, this comes back to the playing long ball episode from a few episodes ago, but the idea is these are the relationships that are going to be, they're deep. You know, you're going to go deep with most of these, and these are going to be the people that you're going to go to the mat for, and that you really are going to be willing to take out. You know, if they, in the middle of a workday, if you're stressed and one of these guys say, I need to chat for 30 minutes, like, I'm walking out the door and I'm going to have the chat with them, you know. And I've had folks who are like acquiring businesses and it's a stressful time and they need a response quickly. And oftentimes I don't respond very quickly because I have so much going on, but I'll drop what I have and I'll look through the stuff and give them feedback very quickly, because I know that it's important to them. And it's a matter of kind of valuing these relationships over your own success. And obviously I don't mean you can take it too far and you can sacrifice yourself and be a martyr. And that's not what I'm saying either, but I'm just saying, you know, don't throw these people under the bus just because you have something more important to do or whatever. This is kind of the crew or the micro tribe that I think is going to take you on for the next decade or two. Wow. So that was a lot of information. I realized I had a lot more to say on that than maybe I thought initially, but hope this was helpful. And we will see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.